Well, let's open then to Isaiah chapter 49 and verse 23. And I'll be looking at two other texts in Isaiah a little bit early in the book. Isaiah 49 verse 23. I'm taking this from the New American Standard Bible, a little different perhaps, because the word hopefully is in it. Those who hopefully wait for me shall not be put to shame. The two other places I'd like to go back to while we're there. First one is in Isaiah 25, both in Isaiah 25 and verse 9. Chapter 25 and verse 9. I'll read the verse, Isaiah 25 and verse 9. It will be said in that day, behold, this is our God for whom we have waited that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. Amen. We do rejoice in his salvation. Next chapter, 26 and verse 8. Isaiah 26 and verse 8. We shall read. Indeed, while following the way of thy judgments, O Lord, we have waited for thee eagerly. We have waited for thee eagerly. I'd like, if you will, also to find a little bit later on in the Old Testament, the book written as we have it by Habakkuk, and chapter 1. Bearing in mind the other verses, those who hope for the Lord will not be put to shame. There is no doubt for the Lord to act in our day, as well as our hope when we shall be with him, of course. So while we hope for that, with a certain hope, nothing vague about that, we will not be put to shame. In other words, we won't be embarrassed as if it wouldn't take place. We shan't be ashamed, because it will take place. So in Habakkuk, in chapter 1, and the verses 2 to 4. Habakkuk chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. I go back into the background of Habakkuk as well, which is very interesting in relation to our times in which we live. Habakkuk chapter 1 then, verses 2 to 4, which I will read. How long, O Lord, will I call for help, and you will not hear? I cry to thee, violence, yet thou dost not save. Why dost thou make me to see iniquity? Cause me to look on wickedness. Yes, destruction and violence are before me, all around me. Strife exists, and contention arises. Therefore the law is ignored. Justice is never upheld. For the wicked surround the righteous. Therefore justice comes out quite perverted. Well, Habakkuk lived in difficult days. And for him, it was impossible to try and see the way ahead. Now his prophecy, let's take the background of this. His prophecy came between 612 BC, the destruction of the Assyrian Empire then, and 605 BC, when Judah was invaded for the very first time by Babylon, who had conquered Assyria. Now, Judah had a good king, Josiah. And unfortunately, he was killed in battle, fighting with the Egyptian pharaoh in 609 BC. So it was rather turbulent, uncertain times in which this was all taking place. There were times of great uncertainty. A good king had been killed. Habakkuk lived in those difficult days. Judah invaded by Babylon. Times of great uncertainty. And then another king, Jehoiakim, he became in 609 BC. So it was a times of uncertainty, times of change and times of difficulty. Now, when we read the book of Habakkuk, he was very concerned about the troublesome times in which he lived. A time he couldn't see the way ahead, how it was going to go. Many changes took place, as I've just read about. A new king had come in. And that's true for us, isn't it? We have a new king that come in. And sad to say that the queen, who clearly was a Christian, has gone on to be with the Lord. Also, we have a new prime minister. Wonder what she will be doing. So all these are changes that you and I face with some uncertainty, perhaps. How is it going to go? It does seem as though King Charles, as he is, seems to be a man of multi-faith, although he promised he would keep the faith. I don't know how that will work out. So again, we live in uncertain times. Very unexpected and sad, of course, that our Queen has left us. And there are times of differences and difficulties and perhaps uncertainties. New Prime Minister, how is that going to work out? That was exactly the situation that Habakkuk found himself in. As I say, he had a good king, but he was dead, killed in battle. So, and Jehoiakim had come on the throne. What was he going to be like? So Habakkuk himself, not just about those in high office, but he looked around in his day and found that the moral conditions of his day, there was corruption all around and apostasy in their religion. Well, that's true for today, apostasy all around us today. And he had a real sense of judgment is coming. Well, of course, that judgment then was the threat of the Babylonian army under Nebuchadnezzar, and they invaded Judah. They captured Jerusalem, and they took many hostages, 605 BC. And after that, four kings, rapid succession of kings in Judah. And that was uncertain times, one after another. The Babylonian army had invaded Judah, and they even destroyed Jerusalem in 586 BC. Times of great turmoil and uncertainty. And Habakkuk was so concerned of his day. Now, there was another king before that, a king called Manasseh, and he was Hezekiah's son. Hezekiah was dying. And he asked the Lord to heal him from the disease that he had. And the Lord said, I'll give you 15 more years of life. And during that time, Manasseh was born. And he was a very evil king. Well, the word changes take place later. But he was an evil king. He even put children in the fire. Terrible days in which they lived. We have days of uncertainty with big changes. We have King Charles on the throne. We have a recently new prime minister. We wonder how all these things are going to be. Their good King Josiah was killed. We have lost our queen who was a Christian. So not dissimilar. And there was corruption in the days of Manasseh as well. And he was living in days of great violence. That's what Habakkuk said. Violence. Violence is all around me. But it is sometimes around us today too. We know that. And the apostasy within their religion. That was all around in their day too. And it is in our day. So similarities. So in the light of all that Habakkuk was facing. In the light of all that we are facing. With unknown situations, perhaps. We can't estimate them. You can't forecast them. So Habakkuk knew he had difficult days, and so do we. So what did Habakkuk do? Well, look in the second chapter of Habakkuk, if you've got it open, would you? What did he say? Chapter 2 and verse 1. Chapter 2 of Habakkuk and verse 1. This is what his reaction was. I will stand on my guard post and station myself on the rampart so he could see everything. And I'll keep watch to see what he will speak to me. What is God going to say in our day? Well, it comes through the word, we know that. And will come through faithful ministry. I'm sure that will be true. So he says, Habakkuk says, well, I don't know what's going to happen. I've got many changes facing me, so I will wait. I will watch to see what the Lord will say to me. Well, what the word of God says to us. What good ministry says to us. Now again, I just go back to Isaiah 49, verse 23 again. Isaiah 49, 23. In the light of that, in Isaiah's day, in Habakkuk's day, what did Isaiah 49, 23 say? Those who hopefully wait for me. That may not be in your Bible, that word hopefully. It's in the New American Standard, but it's a very good word to see there. Those who hopefully wait for me shall not be put to shame. Well, we hope for the Lord's blessing on our lives. Well, many of us would hope and pray for the Lord to come for his church. Yes, no doubt we do. And because he promises to come, we shall not be put to shame. When we believe the word of God, we shall not be put to shame. When we have fellowship together and share together, which is strength indeed, we shall not be put to shame either. So, very much similar to Habakkuk's day. He didn't know how things are going to develop. So he said, I'm going to wait on the Lord. See what he says to me. That's a good thing to do, isn't it? We pray. We wait on the Lord. We fellowship together. We share thoughts together based on the scriptures, I trust. So that is a strength for us. Habakkuk wanted to see what the Lord would say in his day. And as we found in Isaiah 49, those who hopefully wait for me shall not be put to shame. Troublesome times, uncertain times, they faced Habakkuk. They faced Isaiah too, in some extent. So that's chapter 49, 23. Those who hopefully wait for me shall not be put to shame. These are, in one way, teaching in troublesome, uncertain times. We hope for the Lord. We believe his word. We know he's coming soon. We don't know when. We might go on for many years yet. We don't know. He's possibly maybe here today. We don't know. His coming is always imminent for the church. That's always true as well. So Habakkuk said, I'm going to wait. I'm going to watch. I'm going to pray. And I'm going to be quiet before the Lord and see what he was saying to me. Well, he was a very wonderful prophet, was Habakkuk. So Habakkuk has an answer from the Lord. Isn't it good to have an answer from the Lord? Look in Habakkuk 2, a bit further on. In Habakkuk chapter 2. Habakkuk says, I'm going to go in my quiet place. Have a quiet time. I'm going to seek the Lord. And verse 2. Habakkuk 2, verse 2. The Lord answered me and said, record the vision, inscribe it on tablets, that the one who reads it may run. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. It's not your day. It hastens towards the goal. It's hurrying on. And it will not fall. And it will not fail. Though it tarries, you wait for it. For it will certainly come. It will not delay. When the Lord has plans, there'll be plans in his day to be fulfilled in his time. No doubt about that. And that was a reply that the Lord had as a prophet from the Lord. How he spoke, I don't know. Maybe he spoke in his mind. I doubt if he spoke audibly. But here's his answer for troublesome times. Here was wise counsel from the Lord in a time of crisis. I don't suppose we're really in a crisis, are we? But we still live in rather uncertain times. How would perhaps a multi-faith king, what would he say? He's supposed to be head of the Church of England. Well, I can't see that. So there you have again. Isaiah 49, 23, our text, says, those who wait for the Lord will not be put to shame. We wait for the Lord's coming. He's coming we will not be put to shame. You pray like Habakkuk did. You will not be put to shame. The Lord will answer you through the word, maybe, or perhaps even through circumstances. The Lord does have different ways of guiding us. He may guide us through the word. He may guide us through close Christian friends who know us well. He may guide us through circumstances. And he will guide, finally, not very reliably, so in our inward convictions. They are not always reliable because of our emotions. That's certainly true. So what was Habakkuk's reply from the Lord? Well, look at Habakkuk again. The just shall live by faith, in verse 4, Habakkuk 2 and verse 4. The righteous or the just will live by his faith, the faith that the Lord gives. That was the Lord's answer to Habakkuk. The just or the righteous, righteous in Christ for us, will no doubt not be put to shame, and we live by the faith the Lord gives to us. That's certainly true as well. So the just or the justified, that's Christians, justified Christians, will live by the faith that God has given us. And we trust in the word, we trust in the Lord, and sometimes we depend on good Christian friends in fellowship, certainly do that. But Habakkuk, going back to his day, he lived in the threat of an invader. Well, I don't think we have that today. But for him, it was a time of uncertainty, the threat of the invasion of Babylon and Nebuchadnezzar. And he came and took many hostages in 605 BC. He came back and destroyed Jerusalem in BC 586. So they were difficult days. And Habakkuk knew for his day, by 605 BC, there was a judgment coming. And God used the Babylonians because of the apostasy in the land. Will God judge our country for apostasy in the land? Well, I know we live in days of grace, but discipline can come. Lack of blessing can come on the land. I know our land is not the Lord's land, Israel is, I know that. But I'd like, if you will, just to go back to a psalm now, would you? Go back to a psalm. Psalm 37 and verse 7. Psalm 37 and verse 7. Wait for you to find it. Psalm 37 and verse 7. Here's a good instruction. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Well, that was good advice. Difficult times, uncertain times, rest. Don't be agitated. Don't be worried. The Lord is sovereign. Rest in the Lord as a believer and wait patiently for him. Whatever he does, maybe he comes for us, we don't know. Maybe he will strengthen this church. Maybe the world will become strong in the church instead of apostasy. We'll have to wait and see. But they were troublesome times in which they lived. And so do we, in a sense. And so these words here, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him, are words of wise counsel in any time of crisis. That's certainly true. So resting in the Lord and waiting patiently for him is linked with hoping. That was our text in Isaiah. Those who hopefully wait for me shall not be put to shame. That's the Lord speaking. As it says here too, waiting and hoping are linked together, aren't they? We hope, not vaguely, but certainly, upon the Lord, and we wait and we hope. And they're both very much linked together, waiting and hoping. The Lord is completely trustworthy. So we trust him and we wait upon him. And he will always do everything right. And rest, what that word rest means. Does it mean to go to bed? No, doesn't mean that. Rest means to be silent, not agitated, not grumbling, not losing your temper, but to rest, to be quiet, even to be silent. I'm sure the Habakkuk, when he went up into his quiet room, he wasn't agitated, but it's not too much. But he rested, depending on the Lord's answer. The justified ones who live by the faith God gives them, yes, that was it. So waiting and hoping, as Habakkuk and you and I, are linked together. The rest, therefore, means to be quiet, perhaps to be silent. The ungodly in the world around us may rave with anger, not for the Christian. The righteous rest, trusting in the Lord. And that's Psalm 62. We'd like to turn to Psalm 62. You're not far away from it. Psalm 62 and verse 1. Psalm 62 and verse 1. Lovely Psalm. Psalm 62 and verse 1. Truly, my soul waits upon God, from whom comes my salvation. How true. Salvation we have now, but there's a salvation ahead of us too when we're all with the Lord in a new body. That's certainly true. And then verse 2 carries on. He is my rock, my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. I'll not be shoved out of the way. I'll not be agitated. So waiting and hoping are linked together. He is our defense. He looks after us. I'm sure he shields us from many problems we'll never know about. Much opposition, perhaps, as well. So we can rest assured of a shepherd care over our lives. Psalm 25. About time to go back. Psalm 25. First part of verse 3. Psalm 25 and verse 3. Well, it's pretty well the same as Isaiah 49:23, isn't it? Psalm 25, first part of verse 3. Let no one who waits upon you, the Lord, be ashamed. We wait on the Lord, we read his word, we pray, we worship, we fellowship together, we wait upon the Lord. We're not going to be ashamed when we do that. We should be encouraged, we should be strengthened, we should have continued peace, trusting the Lord in all matters. Certainly these things are true. Wise counsel for any critical times. Yes, he's our rock. He's a rock that doesn't move. He stays firm, and we can put our anchor into him and be safe. He's my rock, my salvation. He's my defense. I shall not be moved. And we can read on down to verses 5 to 8 in your own time if you wish. So faith and patience, resting and waiting with confidence, all go together. Psalm 25:3, what does it say? Let no one who waits upon you be ashamed. And these are encouraging days, encouraging scriptures for the days in which believers live. Going on a little bit further, page on, Psalm 27. Psalm 27, next page perhaps. And verse 14. Psalm 27 and verse 14. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Oh, I like that. Well, that stabilizes our own lives. No agitation, but rest and calm and peace within. Maybe a bit of a storm outside, but peace within. When I was a boy, my parents had a wonderful painting. The painting was of a storm right on a coastline, which is all rocky. And there's a raging storm, it's black, and the waves are smashing against the rock, and there's a little seagull tucked away in the corner, quite at peace, quite unmoved, quite unaffected. The storm didn't reach him, and he's very quietly resting. I was impressed by that painting. That speaks of the Christian in times which are troubled times, uncertain times, maybe difficult times. It can be like that little seagull, resting quietly, trusting, safe from harm. He's our rock, and we shall not be moved. I like that. He's my defense. I shall not be moved. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Don't be agitated. Don't rush here and there and everywhere in a panic, even in our minds, if not in our bodies. But just rest quietly, depending on him. He is worthy. He's our salvation. He's our rock. He's our defense. He's our good warrior soldier, if you like. So, yes, okay, so we live in times of great change. Queen has gone on to be with the Lord. We have a new king. Recent prime minister. Difficulties in the world with Russia and Ukraine, other places around the world. Flooding and fires and drought all around us in the world today. We know that. But the Christian, well, yes, we're concerned about the troubles that are around us. Of course we are. But we wait on the Lord and be of good courage. And he will strengthen us, our heart, like that inner self of ourselves, our inner being, or our will. He will strengthen us. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Good advice. So the scriptures come. I'd like people to look at Proverbs 20. Would you go have a look at Proverbs 20? Proverbs 20. I'll just turn to it. Proverbs verse 20, chapter 20. Proverbs 20 and verse 22. The second part of verse, Proverbs 20, 22. Wait for the Lord and he will save you. Good advice. Obviously, the writer, looking at the first part of the verse, had had trouble. Do not say, I will repay evil. It had difficult times in which he lived. No, he says, I will wait for the Lord and he will save me. That's true. He has saved us. He is saving us every day and will save us for the future with him. That's certainly very true, isn't it? Yes, wait for the Lord. And Psalm 33, our last thoughts. Psalm 33, going back there. Psalm 33 and verse 20. Psalm 33 and verse 20. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield, defense or protection. We wait for the Lord. Difficult, perplexing, uncertain times may be. Wait on the Lord. He will save you, yes. Wait on the Lord. He is our shield and our help. We read Psalm 62. I'd like to finish with just a word from the New Testament. I'm sure it's one you know well. It's in Paul's first letter to the Thessalonian Christians. Paul's first letter to the Thessalonian Christians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 10. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 10. Now, remember our text that we began with from Isaiah 49:23? Those who hopefully wait for me shall not be put to shame. When I look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10, we wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. Now, the wrath is not hell. That's eternal. The wrath is a seven-year period of the Great Tribulation, especially the second half. And we're delivered from that wrath. We're delivered from the Great Tribulation. We're going home to be with the Lord before that takes place. We wait. And the thought there is to wait up. To wait up as if you were expecting him to come any time. Now, I know we go to bed, go to sleep. But in a sense, our spirit is waking up. We wake up expecting him, and he can come at any moment. His coming is always imminent, any day. We wake up alert, ready. That's what it means, alert and ready in our mind and attitude. For God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, therefore is a living Savior. Even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come, he's going to take us home before the great tribulation comes. And how near is that? We don't know. But we wait up, we know he's coming, and in the light of that, we'll never be put to shame because that's our hope as well. So Habakkuk lived in difficult days. They're uncertain days. There were threats by other nations against him. The moral conditions of Habakkuk's day were not good. Corruption and apostasy in their religion all around. And violence in the land at times, yes, certainly, as it is today. So like Psalm 37, we rest in the Lord. We wait patiently for him. And we live in those perplexing times, shall we say, some uncertainties, yes. And he is our Savior. And so he is our shield. And he is our help in every day. So fret not. That word comes many times in the Bible. Fret not, fret not, fret not. Don't be worried. Don't be anxious. Be at peace. The Lord's in control. Yeah, we wait for the Lord to come. Maybe soon. Maybe a few years. We don't know. But his promise is sure. And therefore, we hopefully wait for him in his dealings with us every day now and for the future ahead of us. And we shall not be put to shame because he's our hope and our defense, our Savior, our Lord, and our friend. Yes, he's the Son of God, and we are sons and daughters of God Almighty, the Father. How wonderful. Praise the Lord for that. Yes, we hopefully wait for him. In our everyday life, he looks after us and cares for us. And he's watching over us every day because we belong to him and he belongs to us. We'll never be put to shame, for we have a glorious, certain hope. Nothing vague about our hopes, dear friends. Amen to that.